Hi, I'm Tony Rossi for the Christophers, and today we'll be exploring the sacraments of the church through a musical lens. Singer-songwriter Sarah Hart will join me to discuss her album Sacrament and how it can move us toward a deeper understanding of and more meaningful experience of the sacred treasures in our practice of the faith. Stay with us. Christopher Close-Up starts right now. Hello and welcome to Christopher Close-Up. I'm Tony Rossi. In the life of the Catholic Church, the seven sacraments are visible signs or rituals instituted by Christ that serve as channels of God's supernatural grace. There's baptism, confession, communion, confirmation, marriage, holy orders, and anointing of the sick. Well, singer-songwriter Sarah Hart has now created an album called Sacrament, and it's full of songs that serve as meditations on these important and timeless aspects of our faith lives. Before I talk to Sarah, I want to share a clip from the album. Here is Sarah Hart with the baptism theme track, Gather at the Water.
From the first of creation, love breathed upon the waters, beyond oceans to this pond. Now in this beginning, in this goodness flowing, receive the
I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close-Up, and we just heard a clip of the song Gather at the Water from Sarah Hart's album Sacrament, and I am so pleased to have Sarah with us on the show right now. Sarah, it's great to have you on again, because you've been on the show for many of your wonderful albums, and this is another one of those great albums. So welcome to Christopher Close-Up.
Oh, thank you so much, Tony. I always love talking to you. Love it, and I'm so glad to be back.
Well, let me start with the very basic question. What made you want to write and record an album devoted specifically to the sacraments of the church?
Well, you know, I think it's just kind of come about very organically. You know, at this point in my life, I've made a lot of records. And I travel pretty extensively through the year. And I think for me, it was just somehow planted in my soul, being in all the places that I've been and traveling to all the places I do, that the church has specific needs for music, you know. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that started, kind of kickstarted this whole project, was a few years ago when my daughter was confirmed. We were sort of, you know, looking at the songs, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, you know, so many of these songs are so old, and a couple of them, like a subject matter, didn't even really fit the confirmation service. Mm-hmm. It didn't really fit what the priest talked about. Actually, we had a priest at our confirmation because our bishop was sick. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I just was thinking, I don't love the way these fit. So I decided I want to write a song for my daughter for confirmation. So I did. And it's called May You Walk, and it was the very first one. And I think right after that, I just thought, I know, having been out there, that the church has needs for specific songs for sacraments that just don't really fit right now. And so that was it. I just wrote a whole record of songs to fit the sacraments of the church. And it all started with my daughter's confirmation.
Yeah. Well, has going through the sacraments, like confirmation with your daughter, has it affected your own faith at all? Was it like a refresher course in a way?
All of it has been a refresher course. In fact, writing the record has been a refresher course because I went straight to the rites to do the whole project, you know. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of that, I had forgotten things that were in there. I had never really noticed things that were in there. I'd only been to one ordination, so that was really a learning experience. So, you know, kind of go through all the rites and read them. I would definitely say great refresher course.
Yeah, yeah. I'm talking to Sarah Hart. Her website is sarahhart.com, and we're talking about her new album called Sacrament, which has one song on it devoted to each of the seven sacraments of the church. And we just heard a clip of Gather at the Water at the top of the show, and I like the imagery of being welcomed by God because, you know, if we're being honest, some families who get their kids baptized, they're not that involved in the church or their faith. And I think the song beautifully conveys that there is a supernatural welcoming going on in the baptism. So just talk about that idea of welcome and what you want that song to convey.
Right. Well, again, that was something that I read in the rites. There's a little passage that talks about receiving the garment of God, you know, and I was like, oh my gosh, what a great image to be receiving. We're not just like, you know, standing around dipping a baby in water, but we're actually receiving so much more than that. Mm-hmm. We are receiving the garment of God's love. We're receiving mercy, God's mercy. And the biggest thing I thought was we are receiving the welcome. So it's the welcome of the community that we're entering, mm-hmm. The welcome of the people that are holding us, but also truly, you just said it, that supernatural welcome of God where he says, you know, welcome to the family. Hooray, you are part, you know, and that's all precedent that was set by Jesus when John the Baptist, you know, baptized him. And so this is an ancient and beautiful tradition, and this sacrament has been welcoming people for thousands of years. So there's really so much more to it. It really packs a punch.
Sure. And again, the other thing I liked in that specific song was, you know, you highlight the past of creation, but also the present tense of what's going on. It's not just Jesus who lived 2,000 years ago, but Jesus present now. How do you think this song especially conveys that idea?
Yeah, okay, so I'm thinking about the lyrics here. One of my favorite verses is actually, I think it's the second verse, and it says, just as he stood in the Jordan, he is standing with you. Mm. And I love that image of Christ standing in the Jordan, looking at John the Baptist, saying, hey, dude, baptize me. John's like, really, me? Okay. But the same Christ that stood in the Jordan to be baptized stands with us in the midst of us at the baptism mm-hmm. service. And we are baptized into his family, into his very family. That is, to me, a beautifully, powerful image.
Yeah, yeah. I'm talking to Sarah Hart. Her website is sarahhart.com. Her album is Sacrament. We're talking about that album. Each of the seven sacraments has a specific song. And even though they were written for church, as Sarah said, they're really open to listening anytime. I mean, Sarah's had a lot of great albums. I think my first Sarah Hart album was Road to Ohio. I don't know how many years ago that was, but that was a classic.
That's a lot of years ago.
And there was Tilda.
Maybe not that bad. Maybe not 12 years ago. Yeah.
There's Tilda's song. Song Above Earth's Lamentation, and I think this one fits nicely into your whole genre, because you know mm-hmm. you can appreciate each of the songs, yes, as part of a church ceremony, as part of a mass, but I think it also stands on its own, just as a piece of art and music that you release. Is that what you were aiming for, to kind of straddle the line between both?
Yes, well, because you know, as you know, Tony, I'm extremely particular about production, mm-hmm. and extremely particular about musicianship and things sounding beautiful. I would never ever want to create a listening project that was hard for people to listen to. So, you know, we spend a lot of time and heart and soul and, dare I say, money on getting the right production. And I think it's beautiful. My friend Paul Moak produced this one. He produced my last two as well. And he's just a genius in terms of making beautiful sounds out of nothing. It never ceases to amaze me. So you're absolutely right that even though they're songs meant for the church, people can listen to them and truly appreciate them. Just listen riding around in your car.
Sure, sure. Know? Well, I mean, the track Mercy on Me, which I find it's a beautiful meditation that can put our hearts and minds in the right spirit for confession, penance, reconciliation, yeah. whichever one you want to call it. And mm-hmm. one of the things I like is, at least I think the sacrament of confession, it can be a little bit tough because it involves self-reflection and admitting our sins out loud to another person. Not something we you know, always want to do. So
yeah.
I think this song really makes that a little bit easier. What did you want to convey in this song specifically, in Mercy on Me?
Well, there were really two things. The first thing was keeping it simple, because I remember harking back to when both of my kids had their first penance, and trying to get kids to sing songs at a penance service is yeah. very difficult. Mm-hmm. So for me, I was sort of harkening to kind of a little bit of Taizé in the chorus, where it was just very simple. So it's just, Lord, have mercy on me. It's over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. So it's very easy to sing. But the second thing was, and there's a big argument about this in the Catholic Church, you may or may not have heard, especially among music ministers, about this communal I, and whether we say in our hymns, we or me or I, like, what is the point? And so mm-hmm. for me writing this piece, it was important to say mercy on me, because we go into the confessional by ourselves, you know, and eventually we ask the Lord for mercy just on us. We can't ask, you know, we can't ask for the sins of anybody else. We go and we ask for ourselves. Mm-hmm. But when we sing Mercy on Me as a body, it becomes a communal me. And there's some comfort in singing Mercy on Me and knowing that every other person at that service that you're singing those words with is a sinner too.
Yeah.
And we are all there for the purpose of God's forgiveness. And so that's a pretty cool image.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I mean, just going to the word communal, you just said, to live with him forever is the song that addresses the Eucharist. And, you know, we use the word receiving communion, but I think we actually don't always grasp the communal aspect of what we're doing, receiving communion, both in this world and the next. So what do you hope this song conveys? Because, again, you know, we believe as Catholics, the Eucharist is the real body of Christ and not just a symbol. So what do you, how do you think this song conveys that truth to listeners?
So I think I can boil that down by telling you one of my favorite lyrics. And it's in the last verse. And the words say this, to the throne of grace, we run for help and timely comfort with faith that he will not reject the flock his heart has purchased.
Mm.
And I think that is really, that's where the whole song points to me in that moment, that we take communion knowing and believing in a God who does not reject us, but accepts us, loves us, and expects us to take communion and also to give communion to the world. It's one of my big things personally, that church doesn't stop at the door. Church doesn't stop when we leave, but the world is church, that that life is church and holiness. And so that communal thing of taking communion, we take it with the body of believers, we take it with the saints, as you say, but we also take it with the whole world, truly. Because that's where we're meant to share it, with the whole world.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close-Up. I'm talking to Sarah Hart about her album Sacrament. Her website is sarahhart.com. And I mean, since it seems perfect timing, since you wrote this this album about the different sacraments, which a lot of, you know, young people receive in school. You were recently at the Religious Education Conference in Los Angeles. So I'm curious, what did that experience teach you about the state of religious ed in the U.S. today? What was it like for you going to that?
If anybody who is Catholic is discouraged about the Catholic Church, they should go to L.A. Congress. That's all I have to say. L.A. Congress is my favorite event that I do every year. It is so joyful. It is so welcoming. It is so overwhelmingly beautiful. And it is, I think the thing I love about it the most, Tony, is that it is such a great snapshot of what our church looks like. Anybody who's Catholic knows that there are different sort of, you know, beliefs and ways of worship and ways of doing things in the church. And in California, when you go to LA Congress, you see them all, you experience them all. It is so incredible to see. I think it's the closest you can get to understanding what truly the worldwide Catholic Church looks like, because every culture is there, every belief is there, every, all the hearts are so beautiful. It's astounding. So I think I go to Congress as a teacher and as a speaker and a singer, and, you know, I'm always part of the music things and yada, 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 but I leave just having absorbed so much and feeling so good about my faith. It's a kind of event that, you know, gives me the courage to go on and do what I do for another year.
Yeah.
Truly, it's that incredible.
Do you get a sense from the teachers there? Because I think it's mostly teachers, educators. So of like, is there still a hunger in young people for God, even though they may not even realize it themselves that that hunger is there?
So every Thursday they have youth day, and they usually have like 20,000 kids show up at this thing.
Wow.
So I know that the hunger is there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what our young people want more than anything is to be told the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Even before they want to be entertained, even though they want to, before they want to play games or have fun or dance or whatever, they want to be told the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I think it's our job and our responsibility as adults to speak the truth into the lives of our kids. So I do have hope. I have great hope for that future generation.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I just, my previous interview was with a writer named Letitia Ochoa Adams, and she came to the faith late in life, even though she was baptized as a baby. And she said, Her life was, I compared her to St. Augustine before the conversion. It was kind of an interesting background. And she said one of the things that really turned her life around was hearing that God loved her. That was never a message she got before. So you do some youth conferences and everything. Have you seen that message that God loves you really, you know, strike a chord with young people?
I think that anybody that works in youth ministry at all goes into youth ministry with that first and foremost on their hearts. For whatever reason, for our young people, and I think it's always been this way for young people, it's a confusing time. I have two teenage daughters myself, so I know it's a confusing time. And I was a teenager. We all were at some point, you know. And I do think that love is a very convoluted thing, especially for our teenagers. It drives me nuts, the kind of pressures that we put on our kids that surround dating and dances and proms and promposals. And so, you know, love becomes this very convoluted, what does it even look like? So that their image of the love of God is mirrored by what they think love is supposed to look like on earth. Mm-hmm. And when they discover that the love of God is actually something extremely different, it's extremely unconditional, extremely vast, that has been forever and will be forever, I think once they grab the basic concepts, then yes, it's much easier for them. And so all people in youth ministry, that's what they do. I know that when I do a youth conference, my goal is to just hug as many kids as want to hug me and let them know that God loves them. You are loved. You are not just loved, but be loved, which is a totally different thing. You are beloved of God. You were wanted. You were placed here. You are seen and you are heard. That's what our kids need to know.
Yeah, no, it's beautiful. And I mean, on that topic of love and how it's seen in culture today, technically your song on Sacrament, Beloved Arise, you sung with P.J. Anderson, who I've talked to on the show, also another great singer. That really addresses the topic of love in a sacramental marriage. So talk a little bit about that.
So I had a kind of a vision for that song. Of course, I was thinking of my husband the whole time I wrote it, but I had a couple visions. One was to go to Song of Songs. And because there's no better book, I think, in the Bible that explains what that holy kind of thing is. You know, it's an attraction of heart and soul, and I really wanted to paint that picture. So I just went straight to Song of Songs and made it my own. I added the one line, let's make the most of these days that love has given us. And I think everybody should do that, no matter what relationship they're in.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
So when I do this song in concert, I do say that, who's in relationship? You know, maybe five people raise their hand, and I'm like, see, every hand in this room should go up because we are all in relationship with someone. So this song really applies to us all. And I think it goes a step further in that my second goal is really to paint not just the union in marriage, but the mystical union of Christ to his church. Mm-hmm. And he is calling us all, constantly saying, beloved, arise, come and go with me. Let's make the most of the time that we have, right? And that's what Christ does with the church.
Yeah.
He's saying to us, come with me. Don't waste your time. but come with me, serve me, love me, let me love you, and let's do something wonderful on this planet while you have the time.
So
it's kind of a call. I think it's a call even beyond sacramental marriage to me in that song.
Yeah, well, yeah, love does go beyond sacramental marriage, but I mean, it is a beautiful message. And I think in that song, in Beloved Arise, and even in May You Walk, the confirmation song, there's something about your voice and the way you sing it. There's a real purity of intention, almost like an idealism that comes across. And I'm just curious, does that purity, idealism, is it just come from the process of songwriting, or are you naturally an idealistic, pure person?
I am naturally a cockeyed optimist. I am naturally the glasses half full girl. Mm-hmm. I am. And, you know, there's such beauty in that. The world needs people that are glass half full.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's how beauty stays in the world, you know. God knows there's a lot of stuff, right? Like, life's hard.
Mm-hmm.
Life's hard. And just stuff happens, and we all struggle, and we suffer, and we are refined in ways that we don't even want to be refined. And so I think for me, it's naturally sort of who I am. But I think it's maybe a gift to be able to give people a little hope and to be able to paint some purity or some kindness for them, because there are a lot of places it doesn't exist. mm-hmm. and you have to call it into being in places that it doesn't exist. So I kind of like being that. My mother's that way too, and maybe some people think that's annoying. Sorry about that. But
No. I think it's a wonderful thing. I'm talking to Sarah Hart about her album Sacrament, and I mean, it reminds me because I went to look up this religion education conference, and I saw that one of the talks you gave there was called mm-hmm. "Us Versus Them: Beyond Politics and Into Love," which seems like a difficult topic to broach, but it seems to go along with what you were just saying about being the optimist. So, what solutions did you come up with that we as Christians can used to become more loving?
Well, I talked a lot about how in many ways, if you think about your church, if whoever is listening, you think about your church that you walk into every Sunday. Mm-hmm. What a miracle it is, truly. What a miracle it is that you are sitting in a pew next to someone whose political views may be completely the opposite of yours, mm-hmm. but you are sitting there because you have a common love and a common desire to serve and love the Lord, right? Mm-hmm. So that's where I talked about pretty much everything stemmed out of that, is that this is not the hill that we die on. Our mm-hmm. politics are not the hill that we die on. Mm-hmm. Instead, we choose to serve and love a God who is greater than our politics. And we've just got to get to a place in our world where we understand that first and foremost, we love. First and foremost, we serve. That's what we do. Mm-hmm. So, but it was a very funny workshop, and I told a lot of funny stories. And, you know, people will just have to come to one of my workshops sometime or one of my speaking events. And
sounds good. Go to sarahhart.com, and you can see if she's where she's talking.
That's right. And I'm always all over the map, so... Yeah.
That's good. That's wonderful. And I read that your other talk was called The Prayer of Chaos. What is The Prayer of Chaos?
Oh, my Lord. It's my whole life. It's my whole life. It's God in my life. So anybody who's a working mother especially will get it. But I think all of humanity kind of gets it. I talked a lot about how we guilt ourselves into thinking that our prayer life isn't good enough. We guilt ourselves into feeling like our relationship with God isn't good. You know, so I talked mostly about how, first of all, we've said it a million times, you're loved, you're beloved, and don't diss the moments in your life that are prayer. So changing diapers, that's prayer. Mm-hmm. Feeding your children, that's prayer. Listening to your husband when he's had a bad day, that's prayer. Going to a friend's house to bring chicken soup, that's prayer. So just because your life is insane and crazy and you're in constant motion, God receives so many of those things as our prayer to him.
Yeah.
And in all things that we're just spending our lives and our hearts making the world a more beautiful place, those are prayers.
Yeah.
And we're way too hard on ourselves.
Yeah, no,
Catholics are good at guilt.
Yeah, no, I think you're making a good point there, because people do forget that the ordinary things mm-hmm. of life can be prayers too. Before we just got a couple of minutes left, so I just want to touch on the other two sacraments, because I don't want to feel any of the sacraments to feel left out. May You Be Known is about holy orders, which is probably the least celebrated sacrament because there's only a limited number of people who enter religious life.
Yeah.
What did you want that song to convey, especially not just to the priests who are entering religious life, but to the rest of us too?
Right. Well, you know, to be quite honest, that was the hardest one to do. And it was the last song that I wrote, and I was really struggling for a lyric. And you know me, Tony, I don't struggle for lyrics, but I really struggled for this one. And I think part of it, just to be honest, you know, I'm a woman, and I'm a mom, and I've never taken holy orders, even though Scripture says I'm a chosen race and a royal priesthood. This is a very different thing, you know. So I actually went to my friend Robert Fiducia, who you may know. He's a wonderful writer, and I said, you know, Robert, I know you've got a handle on this. And he spent some time in seminary. Like, could you maybe help me write this lyric? So he came back with some very beautiful thoughts and ideas that I was really able to grab onto, because I didn't really, honestly, even, I think, understand the sacrament in great depth
mm-hmm.
Until I read through the rite, and then until he kind of massaged some of that on the page for me, and I went, oh.
Yeah.
I get it, you know?
Yeah,
But I think that's the prayer of not just our men in seminary, but all of us. You know, let our lives be a light, God, that you may be known. May you be known before us.
Yeah.
May you walk into the room 5 feet before we do. I think that's the hope of every person who's a believer.
Yeah, no, I agree. And finally, we have Healed in Christ, which is about the anointing of the sick or last rites. And, I mean, you recorded the whole album, Above Earth's Lamentation, about death and the grieving process. So how do you think this song, Healed in Christ, can put listeners into a mindset of healing, whether that healing comes in this life or the next?
Well, there's that thing at Lourdes that says, you know, many people have been healed here, or many miracles have occurred here, most of them unseen with the human eye. And that's I think, what healed in Christ is. Our anointing of the sick and our healing is about the healing that takes place within us.
Yeah.
And if we are not physically healed in the way we want, if the prayers to be healed of cancer or whatever it is, you know, if we are not healed of those things, the healing of anointing of the sick is so much deeper. It's so much different. It is to heal what is broken in us, to have it resurrected with Christ and to be made whole. And I think of all the songs, that's the most special one to me. And I really hope that people can listen to that when they're giving the sacrament, and that it will help not just the people, you know, moving on, but the families as well to heal.
Yeah. I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close Up, and I've been talking to Sarah Hart about her album Sacrament. There's a lot of beautiful messages on this album, beautiful music, beautiful sacraments, beautiful messages. It's one of Sarah's great works. She's released so many. I think this is your 10th album, right?
This is my 10th. Oh, my
album.
Gosh. And I'm almost 20.
But this is another masterpiece that fits into her whole body of work. So I encourage you to go to sarahhart.com and pick up Sacrament. It's really a wonderful listen, whether, you know, you can learn something about the sacraments, but also enjoy the music and be spiritually fed. So Sarah, thanks so much for making the album and for talking about it today.
Oh, thank you, Tony, for having me. You know, I love talking to you anytime.
Now to play us into our closing break, I want to share a clip of the song Beloved Arise that Sarah and I talked about earlier. It's about the sacrament of marriage.
Beloved Arise, oh come my beautiful, let's make the most of these days the Lord's given.
The grace of God has a way of sneaking up on us, and if we're not paying attention, it might even slip right past us. That's why the Christophers have prepared a news note called Opening Yourself to God's Grace. It will help you become more aware of the moments in your life when God makes His presence known in unexpected ways, moments that can draw beauty out of brokenness and allow you to experience the depths of His love. To request your free copy of Opening Yourself to God's Grace, send an email to radio@christophers.org. Or call our toll-free number at 1-888-298-4050. We look forward to hearing from you.
In closing, I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in today, and I encourage you to visit our website at christophers.org to learn more about the Christophers and to download free literature and podcasts. When you're there, you can also find links to our blog and our Facebook and Twitter pages. And if you have any questions or comments about the show, you can send an email to radio@christophers.org. Our engineer for today's show is Brian Bonifacio, and I'm Tony Rossi, your host. Thanks again for joining us, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.